Sing a little chorus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Just maybe seated this morning, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And it is good to be gathered in His name. Shall the gathering of the people be? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you all. I just want to say a big welcome to Mr. and Mrs. McDonald this morning, and Timothy and Sandra would really like to thank everyone for the kind gifts and presents. Timothy, just joking, brother. Simon Peter, did it again. Simon Peter and Sandra would like to thank everyone for the kind gifts. And really want to appreciate everyone. Praise the Lord for that. And just pray the Lord bless them as they go into life together, and may all their troubles be small ones, little ones. Praise God. Also, Andrea wants to thank everyone that prayed for Sister Andrea, and me and Sharon got to go to see her, and everything's worked out really well. She's telling me she had a dream before she went into the theatre, and she dreamt that she had this lamb, a wee lamb, she's washing this lamb, and she washed it. It was so white, and all the dirt come off it, and it was so white, this lamb. And then just after that, there's a wee Church of Ireland minister. He's retired, but he goes round hospitals to pray for the sick and give out wee tracts. And he came round to see her, and he told her the lamb's always the Lord, and he takes away everything that's wrong in us. And she just felt that was a real interpretation of her dream, that all the bad that was in her body, he takes it all away. And everything's looking good. What through operation on, there was nothing bad remaining that they could see, and she's on full recovery. But she thanks everyone for her prayers. Praise God. And keep praying for Sister Eileen, for a mighty touch from the Lord, and others as well, from God's touch. And Brother George and Winifred's on holiday still. Pray the Lord will bless them, give them a great time, and just the Lord bless each one. Praise God. I want to read in a moment from 2 Philippians chapter 2, verse 78. And tonight Samuel's going to be preaching, and Brother Laurie's going to be sharing a testimony. So come along tonight as Brother Laurie's going to share and Samuel's going to share this evening at 6 o'clock. But you know, I was praying for the service this morning, and I was praying a lot, waiting on the Lord. You know how you do, and you wait, nothing comes, and you look at different things. And I was really thinking about preaching about Rome. And I was going through the book of Daniel, and I was really thinking a lot about the little horn. And you'd have to go back into the series of Daniel. I'm sure some people know what the little horn is, some might not know anything about it. But I believe the Lord just really spoke to me and went right back to what he told me before several years ago. I want you to preach more on Jesus. And I'm getting ready to bring some big thing out of Daniel. And I'm looking for this message, and the Lord tells me again, I want you to preach more on Jesus. And then I got to thinking, you know, from I've started preaching on Jesus, there's an awful lot of places I used to be invited to, don't have me no more. That's the truth. I'm not going to name the places, but I used to go to them. You know how many times I went in a year. There's one church I used to go to once a month. I went once a month for years. They don't have me no more. There's another group what I started. I'm the man helped them start it. I went every Saturday night for 6 months. I helped them start it. They don't have me anymore either. I could name other countries. They don't have me anymore either. Because I'm preaching about Jesus. And you know, I got to thinking about something. There's nothing else you need to be preaching about. And if you're preaching about anything more than Jesus, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, while you're doing it, you'll not know it. I'll tell you that now. But if you ever come back for a moment, it's like doing a job. Sometimes you're wondering how you're going to do a job and you don't know how you're going to do it. But if you step back from it and steady yourself and really have a good look at it and to think about it, you'll be fit to do it. And I tell you, there's a lot of things when you step back and have a real good look at it, they're not preaching the gospel. I don't know what they're preaching, but it's not the gospel. And they claim they're preaching a message, but they're not preaching the same message that was preached. It's not the same as what originally came. And remember, this is to turn us back to the original.
Amen.
Not something new or different, the original. And when somebody says, I know it says this, but I have another commission, different, well, then that's a red flag for me. That's the truth. Let's stand our feet, and we're going to read this morning. This is my title this morning. No name can be compared to the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to blow clean out of the water.
Amen.
Every thought and suspicion that anyone or anything can be compared to Jesus, it cannot. It cannot. Do you know why? This is the greatest revelation of all. He is God manifested in the flesh. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He is all that. But he's more than that. He's God manifested in flesh. Verse 2 to 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above some names. My Bible, do you believe your Bible's absolute? My Bible's my absolute. And it says every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's believe God. Praise God. If you ever need, lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you this morning. We reverence your name because your name is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you because you first loved us and you gave yourself for us, a ransom for our sin. You come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, and you're a savior for no one but sinners. Yes. Lord, I'm glad you saved this sinner. And Lord, not only did you save this sinner, but you made him a saint. Through your righteousness, we're made whole and pure. And we bless you for it. Father, will you move in this house this morning? Will you touch your people in Jesus Christ's name? Bind every work of the devil, I pray. I come against every foul spirit, every stronghold of the devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. And by faith, I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you, Lord, you undertake for me. Continue to touch Andrea, cover with your blood. Touch me at the island. Have the angel of the Lord come near. Touch her, O God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Make her whole in Jesus' precious name. We plead the merits of your blood over her this morning and over this congregation. For the hands raised meet every need and answer prayer. Bless Simon, Peter, and Sandra, O God. Bless them. Lead them and guide them. Be all they need in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. Bless all that's here. And Lord, our visitors, Lord, from Australia, Brother Mark, Sister Ruth, and the children, may you bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And oh God, have your way in all of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And the Bible's going to be preaching this morning because I have so many scriptures. That's the thing about it, you know. I'm going to mention no names, but I watched a thing some time back. And they had a lot of things they're reading from, and it counted up to the lot. But the Bible was only mentioned a few times. Well, I want to tell you where to preach from the Word of God, the Bible. The name of Jesus Christ is invested with all of God's power and all of God's authority. I want to get you to get that straight away. The name of Jesus Christ is invested with all of God's power and with all of God's authority. There's authority in that name like no other name. My Bible says the demons fear and they tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. William Branham said that he went to a place and there was a witch doctor there, and they made the table float up high in the, off the ground. And he said that he was there and he said the name of the Holy Church and nothing happened to the table. It still kept floating in the air. And the name of the Trinity, it kept floating. And he went over all these things. And then when he said the name of Jesus Christ, he said it almost broke the four legs off. It hit the ground so hard. It's the name of Jesus Christ that the power's in. Ephesians 1 verse 21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. So this name is not just for here and now, but the world to come, this will still be the name. Amen. This is the name, the only name, hallelujah. In this world here and the world to come, this name is far above every other name.
There's no devil stronger or more powerful than this name, but this name has power over every devil and every demon. And we need to hear this name preached. And we need to invoke this name over our families and over our children and over our loved ones. We need to invoke the name of Jesus Christ, for there's power and there's authority in this name. And if you speak this name enough, something's got to happen. Wigglesworth went to the person that was dying, and he whispered the name of Jesus, and he whispered the name of Jesus, and they rose up and were healed by the power of God, because there's power in the name of Jesus, even in a whisper. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All power. That means there's no other power above this power. That means there's no other authority greater than this authority. There's no other name greater than this name. All power means all power. I want to tell you that there's nothing else or nobody else has this, but the Lord Jesus had this. And not only had Jesus had this, he says, I give unto you power. Amen. He says, after the Holy Ghost has come on you, ye shall receive power. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Power because of the name. The Holy Ghost won't make you lift up another man. The Holy Ghost will make you uplift the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost will make you praise the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost will make you magnify the Lord and live for the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, God, you know God's a zealous God. He's a jealous God. He will not give his glory to another. Hallelujah. John 5:43 says, I am come in my Father's name. I want to tell you, that's the Father's name, Jesus. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus Christ, he came in his Father's name. And ye received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He's not long voted in. The smokes went up. And Leo or Cleo the 14th's already got around. And he's putting his hands on people. No harm to anybody. I would not want that man's hand put on me. But there is a hand that I want on me. And that's Fanny Crosby sang the song. She said, even though she's blind, she said, how are you going to know when you get to the other side? She says, I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. That's the hand I want coming on me. I want the hand of Jesus to touch me. Yes. And I want the hand of Jesus to touch you. And I want to tell you, one touch from the Lord, everything changes. The miracle of Jesus Christ demonstrated miracles, demonstrated his power, his divine authority over nature, disease, sickness, death, devils, demons, actually over every force and every single affliction that can come on the human body. Jesus Christ, when he was here, demonstrated his power and authority over it. When the dead passed him, he touched the coffin and the dead was raised. He sent his word. He wasn't even there. He sent his word. And the man over all the soldiers said, in the same hour, servant, raised up and lived again. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus. He was dead 4 days. He was wrapped and laid in the tomb. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, I tell you, Lazarus came forth, and the cloth still on him. Out he came, out of the grave clothes. One old preacher said, the reason he said the name Lazarus, that he said, come forth, he'd emptied every grave. And I want to tell you, there's a day coming when Jesus is going to empty the graves. I want you to know that those that's gone on before us, that are believers, they're going to hear the call from the Master. Come forth and come hither, and the graves will open. There's power in that name. There's no other name like that name. You cannot compare no other name to that name. You cannot compare no other man to the man Jesus. Jesus is not an ordinary person. He's a special person. Jesus is someone special, someone very unique. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:22 says this, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. I tell you, I hear a lot of talk, the day the devil did it, the devil did it. But I want you to tell you, and that's the devil's changed ministries. He doesn't go about healing the sick and raising the dead unless he's changed sides. And don't you believe for one minute the devil goes about healing people and raising up people. That's a lie of the devil. I want you to know that Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. The devil's an oppressor. Half of the Christians today are brainwashed. And they're running about thinking the devil this, the devil that, the devil done it, the devil done it. I tell you, the devil heals nobody. He heals nobody. But I tell you, Jesus is the healer. And I tell you, there's people going about, they're saying they have revival. There's new doctrines going about, and you can get the mantle of William Branham, you can get the mantle of Wigglesworth. And they talk about all these mantles you can get. I want to tell you now, there's only one thing you need, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. You cannot get no mantle. You don't need no mantle of nobody, only the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit can come on you and it can come on me. And God's no respecter, no persons. For my Bible says Elijah was subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly and it rained. He prayed again, it rained not. And God took them scripture to show that you and me can pray. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you the Lord's real. The teachings of Jesus Christ also revealed his divine authority, Matthew 7, 28, 29. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I tell you, Jesus taught doctrine. Jesus taught with authority. Jesus taught with power. Not only did Jesus taught with power, not only did Jesus taught with authority, but the creation obeyed him. He could feed a multitude with a boy's lunch. He could walk on the water. He could cleanse the leper. He could open the ears of the deaf and make the dumb speak. He could open the eyes of the blind. He can raise the dead. Then we go over. I want to tell you, you know, there's lots of doctrines around the message movement. But what should the key really be? Hear this morning. Hear this. I've thought hard about this. Something's been missed. Something's been badly missed. The key should be Hebrews 13 and 8. That's the key. That was the message back then. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what God once again demonstrated. That's what God once again showed to the world, that he was the same. But the devil's waylaid people and hoodwinked people. And they're running here, there, and yonder. But the Lord wants us to come back to believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he ever opened blinded eyes once, he can open them again. He ever stopped the deaf ear once, he can stop it again. He ever cleansed the leper once, he can cleanse the leper again. He's the same. He says in Malachi 3, "For that I am the Lord thy God, I change not." Verse 6. I don't change. I am, not I was. I am. I'm the same. Hallelujah. Even the officers that were sent to arrest the Lord. On one occasion in John 7, 46, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man." The works and the words of Jesus Christ were actually the works and the words of the Father. That's what they were. I tell you, we talk about being in the will of God. And we talk about the permissive will of God. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ was never one time out of the will of his Father. But he was in the will of the Father 24-7, 7 days a week. And even when he went to that Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed those words, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He fulfilled the will of the Father. I don't care what man you show me, he'll fail somewhere. He's got to. Did you hear that? He's got to. Because there's someone that never did. And he's special and he's unique. And he wants us to reverence his name. Wants us to reverence it. The works and the words of Jesus Christ are actually the works and the words of the Father, because we know that God was in him. And God was not in him in measure. God was in him in a fullness. And I know there's people believe that God's in other people like there wasn't Jesus. I do not believe that. Because I want you to know that Jesus had no sin and he knew no sin. And I want you to know that every man and woman is born in sin and their sheep are in iniquity. But Jesus was not born like that, because he was the only begotten, special, unique Son of God. And God was in him. And God just wasn't in him in a wee bit. But God was in him in fullness. John 5:17 says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto I work. John 8:28, and then said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father have taught me, I speak these things. I know there's men of God, and they can get the Spirit, and God can use them. I believe that. And they can do that. And it's only in certain times they can do that. But here's one for you this evening. And I want you to get this. I want you to never forget this. They have to get in the Spirit. The Spirit of God has to move them. And they can do powerful things. That's the truth. But I want you to tell you that Jesus at any moment, Jesus at any time, at any place, anywhere can do it. Because God's in him. An absolute fullness. And all the power and all the authority's in him. And he can walk in the water just when he wants. And he can raise the dead just when he wants. And he can transform a boy's lunch to feed a multitude just when he wants. Amen. And if he wants this morning, he can do something for you that can't be done, but he can do it anyhow. Because he can do far above whatever we can think, whatever we can ask of him. He's able to do it because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a supernatural being. Supernatural authority. Supernatural power. You cannot compare Jesus and any other man like Jesus. It's not even a contest. Not even close. I tell you, we appreciate this Bible, don't we? But this Bible says if everything was written, what Jesus done, that there would not be enough books in the whole of the world to contain what Jesus done. You can tick all the libraries of the great preacher Spurgeon and all the sermons and all the wonderful men of God. We bless God for them all. But all their books and all they had and everything was absolutely a drop in the ocean to what Jesus has done. The world couldn't even contain all the Lord's done. Jesus saith unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And I do nothing of myself, but what I speak as the Father speaks. John 10:37-38, and my Father are one. If I do the works of my Father, believe me. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Amen. Father in me and I in him. They're one. They're not two separate persons. They're one. There's one God. God is a spirit. Always remember, God is a spirit. And God is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is a person. He's a person. He's a person like me and you. But yet God's in him. And God's in him in absolute fullness. John 14:10 says, believest thou not that I am the Father? I am in the Father, Father in me, and the works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelt in me. He doth the works. God was working in him. God was working in him. The name of Jesus Christ also represents God's very presence. Are you hearing me this morning? His name represents God's very presence. Matthew 18:20, for two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst to bless them in his name. That's why the angel of the Lord in the 20th century came to the prophet of God and said, see all them names, they are blasphemous names. Names is put up, blasphemous names, because there's only one name that we're to reverence. Only one name. There's only one chosen place of worship. That's where he's put his name. And it's not in some organization or denomination, but his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're to meet, in that name. That's where we're meeting. We know in Jesus Christ we have the fullness of the Spirit, God's Spirit, fullness. Colossians 2, verse 9, 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Fullness. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities, powers. So I tell you, why should we fear a devil or a demon? Jesus Christ is the head. He's not the middle of the foot, he's the head. That means every single devil, every single demon, every single power on earth and in heaven must answer to the Lord. He's the head man. He's the head of the church. That news for the Pope of Rome. He's not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And you can't join the church. You're born into it. By one Spirit are you baptized in the one body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. No joining it. You're born in. To know the name of Jesus Christ then is to know the supreme revelation of God in human history. For this reason the apostles understood Jesus Christ commanded to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Acts 2:38 is not a mistake. We know that Acts 2:38 is a perfect interpretation of Matthew 28, when it was under the inspiration on the day of Pentecost of the Holy Ghost. Peter was inspired by the genuine Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he preached under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And what he preached cannot be changed, and it cannot be altered. But true baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ. And we take the name. Hallelujah. Just like Sandra is no more Brady. Got it right this morning. Brady. But she's a McDowell. Well, it's no longer sister, you're McDowell now. Amen. We take the name. We take the name. There's benefits for the name. Benefits for the name. I tell you, there's power in that name. There's authority in that name. There is an inheritance in the name. You say, brother, an inheritance in the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's an inheritance in the name. Heaven for one. Crown of unfading glory, which the righteous judge himself shall give eternal life because of the name. John 5:43, I came. I am come in my Father's name. You receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you receive. Let me read you this small quotation. Here is Jehovah of the Old Testament, the God of the Amen. Here is Jesus of the New Testament, the God of the Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. There it is again. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The New Testament does not reveal another God. It is a further revelation of the one same God. Christ did not come down to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. He came to reveal and make known the Father. He never talked about two gods. He talked about one God. And now in the last age, we have come back to the capstone revelation. The most important revelation is the Godhead. You wouldn't think it if you heard some of them. You would never know it, because half of them never preach it. But a prophet of God said this is the most important revelation. He went further. He said the revelation the church starts on, she ends on. That's what you have to come back to. The whole Bible, that it's Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There's one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read that in the seventh church age book. And I know a lot of people said the book shouldn't have been written and all these different things. If you hear everything, if you know, you do believe anything, wouldn't you? But I'll tell you someone, there's truth in it. There's truth in it. But the revelation she started on. Let's hold this for a moment, this thought. Let's get this right where it started. Jesus was there, but the voice spoke from heaven. You remember they're transfigured, the Lord's transfigured before them, and Moses and Elijah appears in garments. And I want to tell you, the disciples are ready to build themselves some denominations. Is that the truth? That's absolutely the Bible. But the voice overruled all that. And the voice said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Don't need to build no thing up here for Moses. You don't need to build no thing for Elijah. You need to hear Jesus. You need to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, I use Moses. Yes, I use Elijah. But if you believe their message, you'd know me. For they testify to me. They pointed to me. And you need to hear Jesus. That's more or less what happened, wasn't it? And he says, upon this rock I'll build my church. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Not Peter. The Pope says he's a successor of Peter. He's a liar. He's no successor of Peter. If he's a successor of Peter, let him baptize all them priests in the name of Jesus Christ and let them repent. But it won't happen. Let them stop worshiping Mary and start worshiping Jesus. And tell them to stop lifting up the sacrament and lift up Jesus. It'll never happen. It's false. It's idolatry. And it's anti-word and anti-Christ. What should our response be to the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, firstly? And I'm almost finished. These are just some thoughts. Recognize that salvation and eternal life come through faith in his name. I tell you, this is the danger, brother and sister, when people, it derodes and it derodes at the truth and it derodes at the truth to where the last Pope come out and said, you don't need to come to Jesus, come to me. I'm surprised God didn't strike him down there then, but he's gone now anyhow. He's went back to his own place. Son of perdition. Jesus is the only name. It's the only name. John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have eternal life in his name. I want to tell you there's eternal life in this name. This name's so important. This name's the only name that gives us eternal life. That means you can die and go to the grave, but you have a soul, you have eternal life in you. Eternal life through the name. Acts 4:12, neither is salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's say this morning, brothers, we were to run it back to the book of Acts. Let's run it back to your thoughts for a moment. And we'll pick up Philip the evangelist. And we'll go with them down to the city of Samaria. And when we go with Philip the evangelist down to the city of Samaria, Philip the evangelist never preached Peter onto them. Did he preach Peter? He never preached Peter. He preached Jesus. And Philip the evangelist preached Christ unto them. And the Bible says unclean spirits come out of many, crying out with loud voices. Because we've already seen in this message this morning that he's above the devil. He's above the demons. He's above evil powers. His name is greater than every devil and every demon and every power must kneel and bow to the name of Jesus. And Peter preached Jesus. Paul preached Jesus. Amen. And Paul preached Jesus. Every one of them preached Jesus. Paul the apostle said that I would know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said the gospel is foolishness unto them that perish, but unto us that are saved it's the power of God, because the name of Jesus is the most powerful name. Amen. Philip preached Christ unto them. And the devils came out. That's what's wrong today. There's an awful lot of people with devils. Me and my wife know family well. And they've got all the B's and Q's, as they've been saying. All the quotations. But there's one young man, and I went to see him my own self. And I laid my hands on him. And that devil started to manifest. And there's me and another brother there. And he didn't want us to pray no more for him. The devil didn't want to come out, and he didn't want rid of it either. What do you think of that? He wanted to keep the devil he had. But yet, with all people baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you, all they did was wed a devil. Yes. That's all they done. Because there was no power there. Even though they used that name, the prescription wasn't followed the way it was given out. Amen. And the prescription must be followed the way it's written in the book. Yes. And in the book it says, repent ye therefore. Then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But when there's no repentance, you've missed out part of the prescription. So you can't have the second part if you don't fulfill the first part. And I tell you, that young man still needs deliverance. It's a sad thing. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you a few things this morning. It'll shock you. But I'm going to tell it now this morning anyhow. And I know it's recorded, and I don't care one bit about it. For the people that it happened to will tell you the same thing as they were here. I went to another group, and I preached in another group, and there's people who were involved in that group. One of them actually played the piano. And they came forward, and when I prayed for them, something went from them. I hope you're hearing me, what I'm saying. You're hearing right. Something went out of them. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was something else went out of them. And when it went out of them, they got genuinely saved. But they were in the message for years. But that morning they got saved. And the devil went out of them. And I tell you, they went home and had a house clearance. They were two alcoholics, the both of them. I never even knew that myself, but I met up with him, me and my wife, several years later. And that brother told me, he says, brother, you don't even know the half of it. And then people was wondering, why is Brother Tom making altar calls in churches like this? Because there's more devils in some places than people think in other places. You'd be shocked when he slips in. There's a lot of things that'll never disturb a devil. But when you preach in the blood of Jesus, and you preach in that name that's above every name, I want to tell you the devil becomes uncomfortable. Amen. He'll get well disturbed, and he even might cry out. Me and Brother Andrew went to another church, and I tell you there was a list of ministers there. I'm not going to name none of them. And I don't care if they hear it. I'd tell them if they were here. Don't you worry one thing about it. But they all lined up and everybody went through their prayer line. But when they all left and the services continued, all I can tell you is this. I was prophesied over before I went what I was to do. Just give my testimony. That's all. When I give my testimony, the same power and the same presence that came to me in High Bank Jail come right in that room. And one of the pastor's wife passed out cold at the front. And demons began manifesting over that building. That's the truth. Now they went through a prayer line before it, the night before. So you'll have to take it, whatever you think about it. And I'm a nobody, but Jesus is everybody. William Branham said this thing. He said, if you testify to the truth and don't change it, the truth will always be the truth. And God will always back the truth because he is truth. Something about that name. Here's the second thing. We can receive everything we need to live for God through the name of Jesus Christ, including power over Satan, divine healing and protection. All of it comes in that lovely name. Mark 16, 17, 18. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they'll speak with tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We need to believe that. We need to believe it. We can boldly and confidently, in the name of Jesus Christ, we can invoke his name. Power and authority and presence of God comes in that name. John 14:14. If ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now we're to walk worthy of the name we bear. I know that. The Apostolic Church rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. They suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 5:40-42, and I'm going to close. And to him they agreed. And when they'd called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The daily temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that a minister is not called to preach and teach anything else. He's called to preach and teach Jesus. And if the first church was called to teach and preach Jesus, and God in the 20th century sent a message to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic message, it's to make us teach and preach Jesus. Not that we'll glorify a man and start a new movement. There's enough movements. God don't need a movement. God needs a people that's willing and obedient to his voice. And the Holy Ghost will come. The Holy Ghost will move. Let's stand our feet this morning. God bless you. If you think I'm angry, I'm not. Well, I'm upset with the devil right now. I'm upset with him. But I love yous in the Lord. Love yous in the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a name like no other name. These disciples were beaten. Lord, we know later on some of them were even crucified upside down. John was boiled in hot oil because he had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will manifest the power of your name upon your people today. Manifest your power in this room upon my brother, upon my sister. Oh God, keep us in the middle of the road as the apple of your eye. Bless your children this morning. For any that's listening in, will you bless them and touch them? And for those laid aside sick, Father, we invoke the name upon them. We pray for complete deliverance and complete healing upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people now. And Lord, help me to preach the things you want me to preach. Lord, I'm not here to please man, but I'm here to serve you. Pray you'll help me. Help me, Lord, to serve you and to walk worthy of what you want me to do and want me to be. Bless each one of us as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing that you'll direct our paths in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As Brother Gary comes, God bless each one.
We'll try and sing that little chorus. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I'm not sure if the children can join in, might not know it, but I'm sure they'll make an attempt at it. K F. Maybe it's not F. was keeping me alive.